Today's Perek in Tanakh is Melachim Beit Perek Chof Gimel. And so we've learned about the slap across the face that Yoshio received with the message of the open Sefer Torah. And we understand that he took this in two completely different directions, as we'll see in Divrei HaYamim. But one thing that he definitely does, and what's important to us here in Melachim, we don't even know about his response of hiding the Aron HaBrit and making all types of preparations for Churban to come, which we'll learn in Divrei HaYamim. Here we learn of his renewed attempt to create a change in the people and to take the very Brit that the Torah was open to in the Tochacha, and to recreate that Brit, and hoping that in doing so, and getting everybody to be committed, that they could then avert the horrible decree that they had heard from Chulda HaNeviah about what was to come to Yerushalayim. And so Vayishlach HaMelech, the king, sends all around the country. And when we say all around the country, he actually, we know at this point, as we know from his message about the Korban Pesach, which again we'll see more clearly in Divrei HaYomim, his country actually included, as we mentioned, Eretz Yisrael, not only Eretz Yehuda. And he had broadly expanded the boundaries of his country, so that the way Chazal puts it is that Yirmiyo was in the process of bringing back members of the Aseret HaShvatim. That's why they sent to Chulda, according to one man, the Yomar. But in any event, he first makes a tremendous gathering of Teshuvah, something which is done also at the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, when they come back and they find that people have been nichshal and marrying now non-Jewish girls. And they make this massive movement to be mitakin. So too did Yoshio send around. And first, Vayasvul of Kol Zikne Yudav Yerushalayim, his first attempt was to first gather together the Zikanim, which is the Sanhedrin, and also the Yeshva Yerushalayim, which is an Asifa. Vayal HaMelech Beit Adonai, he goes up to the Beit HaMikdash, together with the Kol Ish Yehuda, all of the Am that were living in the area, V'chol Yoshva Yerushalayim Ito, V'Kohanim, V'Nevi'im, plus Kol Ha'am, even those who were not the leaders, not the Kohanim, not the Levim, not the locals, everyone, the Mikaton Vad Gadol, from youngest to oldest. And this was exactly the same as the Brit that had showed up in the Sefer Torah, where it says, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kuchem, and there it says, Roshechem, Shiftechem, Zikdechem, it talks about everybody, Mikaton Vad Gadol. So he wanted Kol Ish Yisrael, Tapchem, Nishechem. He wanted to do exactly the same thing, because since the Sefer Torah was open to that Brit, and apparently they had been over on that Brit, he wanted to be Mechadish that Brit. And so Vayikra bo zehem et kol divrei Sefer HaBrit hanimtza beveit Adonai. He read over to them, according to those who hold that it was Dafka Sefer Dvarim, according to those who hold it was the Sefer of the Brit that had been made at the time of Shmuel, the Sefer of the Melech, or those that say it was also including the Brit that Yoshua had made on the coming into Eretz Yisrael. But certainly from the word that are used, which he paraphrases, the Brit of Arvot Moav, he's basically doing a hakel, so that the Melech, every hakel, every 7 years, is meant to read again the Sefer HaBrit. So he reads over that part of the Sefer, which is the Sefer HaBrit. Vayamod HaMelech al Amud, the king stands on a special Amud, which is especially miyuad to the Melech, and he now reads the same way he would have read in the hakel from that Amud. And we saw the same thing happen, by the way. This is another one of the interesting relationships between Yoshio and Yoash. Remember, both of them boy kings, both of them were involved in the Berak HaBayit, and by Yoash it says the same thing. HaMelech Omeid al HaAmud Kamishpat. That was where they realized that he was going to be the king, and that's when she went crazy, Atalia. And so, there he was, al HaAmud. Vayichrot et HaBrit, he's korate this Brit. It doesn't say the Kritat HaBrit. It doesn't say Beferish, what the Brit is, how he was korate the Brit. But apparently he redid the original Brit that had been Barvot Moab, Lifnei Adonai, Lalechet Achar Adonai. He did this in front, in the Beit HaMikdash, in front of the Shechina, that everyone committed themselves to follow, Lishmor, V'lishmor Mitzvotav, Et Edvotav, Et Chukotav, V'chol Leiv, V'chol Nefesh, that this would be done with the entirety of their commitment, with their entire heart, with their entire soul. La'akim Et Divrei HaBrit Hazot. And that, Chazal or Medayik, what had it said? A apparently. Arur Asher Lo Yakim at Divrei HaBrit Hazot. And he went out, therefore, since that was the Arur to which it was open, so he went to be Mekayim the Bracha, connected that Arur. So that each one of those Arur is Baruch HaMekim at Divrei HaBrit Hazot. HaKtuvim Al HaSefer HaZeh. So all of this is paraphrases of the actual Brit that appear in the Sefer that was found. Vayamot kol ha'am bebrit, and everybody commits themselves now to enter into this brit. Vayitzav ha'melech et chilkiyo ha'kohen ha'gadol et kohanei ha'mishneh et shomrei ha'sav lo'tzi me'echal adunai et kol ha'kelim ha'asuyim le'baal v'la'ashera u'lechol tzeva ha'shamayim. And so, even though we saw that there had been an attempt at the time of Chizkiyo to fix the entire Beit HaMikdash, to remove all objects that had any connection to the Avodah Zarah from before. We know that at the time of Amon, even though in Divrei HaYomim, it was true that Menashe himself had also attempted to make a tikkun, apparently they had still kept these things. It was he who took everything out. Vayisrafein michutz liYerushalayim. He had them burnt outside of Yerushalayim. Bishadmot Kidron, in the Sadot that accompanied Nachal Kidron, v'nasa et aforam Beit El. And specifically, and this takes us all the way back to that original Neviut of Ido, where Ido said the day is going to come when a king called Yoshio is going to come to Beit El. So he took up now this Efer, specifically that had been burnt here, he took it up to Beit El, which was exactly the place that this whole thing had begun, the Avodah Zarah of Yeravam. He went to the Mekor, to the very source of the origin of this Avodah Zarah, but this, of course, was also the origin of the Beit HaMikdash. And it took us right back, because this is where Yaakov Avinu had the entire vision of the Shaar HaShamayim. This is where he had fallen asleep. This is where the intimacy of the Ein Zeh Ki'im Beit Elohim had initially been understood by him, and therefore it became the makor of the Haftacha of the Mizbeach Hashem, so that what it was that Yerovam had done was specifically in terms of Beit El, which had then been turned into Beit Aven, the way that the Nevi'im referred to it. And as Achia Shiloni pointed out originally, that the irony and the viciousness of turning Beit El into a place in which this would become the insinuation of Avodah Zarah into Yisrael was just outrageous. It was Yoshio who was the one that stood up against everything that Yerovam had stood for and was predicted centuries in advance that's what he would do. He specifically took all of the Avodah Zarah that had been done by his own forefathers and his father as well. Amon had brought the worst of the worst. He brought it bedafket to Beit El, and there in Beit El, the kimarim, those idol worshiper priests, we always call kohanim, kohanim to Hashem, the komer, was the word we use today, is a komer for Avodah Zarah. So that means this is the way that we refer to, we don't want to call them Kohanim, we call them Komarim as a Loshon Gnai as opposed to Kuhuna. And these, he got rid of the Komarim that his forefathers, Malchut Yehuda, had used Vayakter Bamamot Barei Yehuda Umesibei Yerushalayim. And he did this in Beit El, that Amekatrim Labal, Lashemesh, Vlayareach, Lemazalot, Olochot Zava Hashamayim. Because he saw this, what's the connection between the Yishpita Tekomarim of Yehuda to what was happening around Yerushalayim? Because again, as the Navi has attributed time and time, over and over, that it's from the connection, way back, the connection that had taken place between Yehuda and Yisrael, which was always for a good reason, and yet from the time of Achav and Yehoshaphat, that this is where the Kilkul came from. The intermarriage of the two Malchiot, which was meant for the purpose of Achdus, but which in fact opened up the door to all of the Chataim of Yeravam in Yehuda as well. He saw the Makor to be the problem in Beit El, and therefore, as Ido said, he's going to come back here and will, in the end, burn the people that are being Eved Avodah Zarah on this Mizbeach, and Atzmot Adam will be burnt here. Vayotzei et Asherah mibeit Adonai michutz Yerushalayim el Nachal Kidron. He took out the Asherah that had been placed there. Again, initially we have from Achaz, torn out by Chizkiyo, re-brought in by Menashe, torn out by Menashe when he did teshuva, placed again by Amon, and he burnt it b'nacha kidron, and did what Moshe Rabbeinu had done to the Egel Azav, v'yadek la'afa, the same word, ground it into dust, v'yashlech et afara al kever b'nei ha'am, and threw now that dust on those, the kvorum of those who had been zoveach, because in Divrei Hayomim, it doesn't use the word b'nei ha'am, instead it uses the word la'zovchim lahem. So these were the kvorum of the people that were close to the Avodat HaAsherah, and he took the dirt and the dust of the burning of the Asherah and threw it over them, their own kvorim. Vayitotz et boteach kedeshim, he now also tore apart those who had been set aside now, the houses, the whorehouses, this was specifically homosexual houses, Chazal say, these were ne'arim, asher bebeit Adonai, asher hanashim orgot sham batim la'asherah, the same batei hakedeshim, which were meant for those worshippers of the Asherah, and it was there that the women would sit and would now be making beautiful misachim, which is the targum over here, like just as the masach, there used to be women we use an exaggerated number, 300 ribot that used to make the beautiful parochet. These women used to be miyuchad to make now the parochot for the Asherah, or gotcham batim la'asherah. He specifically now was miyached, the Kohanim, the real Kohanim, the Kohanim b'nei Aaron who had followed Avodah Zorah, and they had been used for the Avodah on the Bamot. He brings them all over, v'yetameyat ha-bamot, asher kitru shama ha-kohanim, migeva ad be'er-shava. Clearly now, he had expanded the kingdom, as we see just from where he was able to do this. And so he had them now being the ones who would be osek in the tihur of these Bamot, and so these are all the Orei HaKohanim, and he was Metame, all of them, all the way from Geva, which of course Geva is in Binyamin, down now to Be'er Sheva. This would be the equivalent of Midan Bad Be'er Sheva from the original Malchut. And he destroyed all of these Bamot, he broke them into pieces, V'natatz now, he also broke apart the Bamot HaShe'arim, Asher Petach Shar Yehoshua Sarair, Asher al simol ish v'sha'ara'ir. And he now even broke down the main bama, which was at the gateway to the city, outside of the city, which is on the left when you would walk in, and this was the big bama, and that's why it mentions it specifically, even though we're talking about all of these bamot. However, even though he did this, and you'd think that that was a tikkun for the Kohanim, ach lo ya'alu Kohanei ha-bamot el mizbach Adonai b'Yerushalayim. He would not allow, even though he brought the Kohanei ha-bamot, in order to do the dirty work, he was machzir them b'tshuva, but he made them the equivalent of Baalei Mumin. Because they had once worshipped Avodah Zarah, they were no longer to approach the Mizbeach in Yerushalayim. What they could do is ki im achlu matzot betoch acheihem. Just like a balmum, even though he doesn't do the avoda, he eats the notar hamincha, which is matzah. They too were allowed to eat those matzot among the other kohanim, but they were not allowed to be oved ever again.
Really? Because Israel think we can prove that the destruction and tikkun of Yoshio is physically different from Chizkiyo. He showed clearly it must mean for Yoshio from four digs, including Beersheba.
It's not only that, there's a very interesting hasharah. There are piles all around Yerushalayim that have not been dug. Strange piles that nobody knows what they are, along Nachal Kidron, which the Hasharah Israel presented this in one of the seminars, an archaeology seminar, that was written up many years ago and has become accepted, that those piles are indeed the piles that are being described over here as Yoshio's taking out, burning outside of Yerushalayim and making piles of junk is those original Bamot that he simply, what is he going to do with the rocks themselves? It was piled up together with this dust that they still survive all around. Fascinating. And he also destroyed now that horror, particular place in, right outside over here that your music school is in, Nani. So that's the, what exactly is the Lashon Tophet? It's not clear, but I mean, in the Chazal, the way that the Gemara puts it in Erevin, it's called the Tophet from Lashon of Pitui. The Tophet is hell. Gei Ben Hinnom becomes now Gei Hinnom, a reference to hell, because called Hamitpateh B'Yitzro, whoever is seduced by his own Yitzer, falls into Gei Hinnom. So this Gei Ben Hinnom becomes now a physical remez to the issue of what we call Gei Hinnom today. The Tophet is a reference that this was a mock of which people were Nifshal and Avodah Zarah and Tznus, and became now that which needed to be destroyed. And there's also interesting, there's a number of interesting Chazals about the Lashon of the Tophet. I mean, there's some horrible Midrashim in Echa about the Tophet. There's all of the issues of this parak get included in the Midrash Echa. So that, I mean, that Rashi learns, and it's based on a Medrash Tanchuma, that the meaning of Tophet is drum. Toph. And it's a place where there would be this incessant drumming, because it was a place in which the cries of children who were being Mu'avar Ba'esh would have shaken the population, or shaken the people that were coming there. So they used to try to drown it out with the sound of the Toph, and therefore it became Tophet. But in other cases, Lashon Tophet is also a Lashon of Busha. So maybe it's a reference to the very nature of Avodah Zarah. So he was mitame that area, the Tophet. Asher began benino levilti lavir ish et benovet bitova ish lamolach. That was the horror place in which people would worship the Molach. Vayash beit et hasusim, which is all down there in Gei Benino. Now the Arabs use them. Vayash beit et hasusim asher natnu malchei Yehuda lashemesh mibo beit Adonai elishkan netam melech hasarim. And so, probably, they were miyached, they had these special, now we find elsewhere, you know, the markivot shemesh, that they had designs of the shemesh, so that when the sun would come up, they all remember the iconic vision of the sun being dragged across the
sky.
Yeah, the sun god dragging the sun across the sky in the chariot. They would actually make chariots that would start running along with the rising of the sun as part of the worship of the sun god. Yeah, these guys did really crazy. So he destroyed those. That was part of the avodah of the Shemesh in the area. So they were not new in the sense of they set this aside for particular worship, probably referring back to his great grandfather, in other words, it was Menashe, where this is mentioned. It says, Befer Menashe. Lechol Tzeva HaShemayim. Lechol Tzeva HaShemayim means that one of the things that he set up this particular worship that would be now from the road that comes from the entrance to the Har HaBayit, great way to, of course, this. Unfortunately, we see this in Mecheskel as well, in which they would bow down to La Shemesh V'Areach with their backs facing the Eichal. They would bow down to the Shemesh, and this was the crazy thing that they would do, is they would now race along with the sun for its covet. Saris, in this case, doesn't mean literally the eunuch. It means a Saris, Rav Saris. We find that the person, the great person who is in charge, it's a Lashon of Sarut as well, with a sin. The reason we call a Sar a Saris is because someone who is close and closer to the presence of the king becomes, in a sense, castrated. Since he's unable to express himself, he needs to be in the presence of the king, and therefore loses his own masculinity. But it doesn't mean that they literally made Sarisim, probably. That Markevot HaShemesh Saraf Ba'esh, the actual chariots that they would use as the sign of the Shemesh, that he dealt with as an actual Avodah Zarah, because even though the horses, I mean, that doesn't become Osir, but the Markevot he could burn up, so that he was Saraf Ba'esh. But this word parvar appears only here. We use it as the outgrowth, but it, surely it could mean a particular group of places, or maybe that group became, because it was outside of the Choma, became a dugma for the nature of outskirts. I don't know which came first. And not only that, the Mizbechot Asher al Hagag Aliyat Achaz. Now this is the clear-cut indication why we would still be referring to Aliyat Achaz when Yechizkio ostensibly had destroyed everything that was on Aliyat Achaz. You see again that the destruction that supposedly took place at the time of Chizkio, that took place at the time of Menashe, was clearly not complete because it was still around. In other words, it's Yoshio and only Yoshio who managed to uproot this completely. So the Mizbechot Asher Gag Aliyat Achaz Asher Asu Malchei Yehuda Veta Mizbechot Asher Asam Menashe, which supposedly also Menashe had 33 years to get rid of, and it says he did get rid of, so it means that he was not Oker. The idea was still there and the Yesodos were still there, and Amon went straight back to the same thing. Then we learned before that this was in the Shtei Chatzrot, the Ezrat Kohanim and the Ezrat Yisrael. He had put that in the Shtei Chatzrot Beit Adonai. He broke them up, smashed them. Natat Samelech. Vayorotz misham vishlichat afaram et el nachal kidron. And that too, he threw now the dust we saw earlier into the water. Vetabamot asher al pnei Yerushalayim asher miyamin laharam ashchit ashabana shlomo melach Yisrael laashtoret shikut sidonim ulechmos shikut moav ulemilkom toavat bnei amon timei habelach. And all of those things, of course, Chazal tell us at Chas v'Shalom that Shlomo HaMelech had actually done those things, but rather because of the fact that he hadn't been moche properly and his wives to see to it that they were under control. He wasn't Mesir then. So we call him the one who's responsible for those things. And he was Metame then. And again, the Metame then is to use Atzmot Adam, to actually turn it into a Beit HaKvarot of all of these people that worship them. And that we see from the words that Ido used. This Mizbeach is going to be Tame, because he's going to burn human bones on this Mizbeach. And that is a remnant to Yerovam himself, as we mentioned. Vishibar et hamatzevot, vayichrota et eshe asherim, vayemale et mekomam atzmot adam. This is clearly a reference back to that Nevi'ah. It's the only place where it's mentioned. Atzmot adam. That's exactly the words that Ido had used. And so he turned what Chazal view as the tumah of Avodah Zarah, is the equivalent of tumat mate. He made it literal tumat mate by filling it up with death. Now the Christians, of course, admit to make that a milah. So you have their horrible charnel houses as being part of the Aveda. That the churches, the basements of the churches, are full of skeletal remains. Right? Terrifying. I mean, that's exactly. So he thought that destroys the Avodah Zarah. They went one step better, you know. No, on the contrary, let's make that holy. After all, it's the saints, is it not? And finally, the kiyum of the original Nevi'ahs, the very Mizbeach, which was built in Beit El, asher asa Yeravam ben Nevat, asher hecheti et Yisrael, the very original Mizbeach, the one that Yeravam ben Nevat was frozen on and was warned that there would be human bones burnt on that Mizbeach. Gamata Mizbeach ha'uveta b'manatat. He smashed to pieces that high place, the Bama, the Mizbeach, that Yeravam himself had built. And he indeed burnt up that bama into tiny little pieces of dirt and dust. And then he turned. And he saw that there were kvarim that were on the har Beit El. And he sent he took out the bones from those kvarim. Those had been people that had worshipped on that Mizbeach, and he burnt them on the Mizbeach, just as had been said originally, Kidva Adonai, Asher Kara Isha Elohim, Asher Kara Tadvarim Ha'ela, exactly what centuries ago had been said by Ido Anavi, the man of God that said that this is what's going to happen. And then he said, Vayomer, Ma Tzion Halaz, what exactly is this big, now fancy marker on this grave? Asher Anino Eh. Ah, they told him. This had been preserved in the mythology of this city for all of these centuries. That is Hakever Ish Elohim Asher Bam Yehuda, the man who had come from Yehuda originally. We pointed out that must mean that it's his coming from Yehuda that was central. That meant that Yoshio would come from Yehuda to finish this off. Vayikrat advarim ha'ela, and he said in advance, now, the very things that you did today, he announced advarim asher asita al ha-mizbeach Beit El, the things that you did over here on the Mizbach Beit El. And he was the one that said it would happen. Vayomer Yoshio said, Hanichu lo, leave that kever. Ish al yana atzmotav, this man's remains shall not be moved. Vayimaltu atzmotav et atzmot hanavi asher ba mishomron. And remarkably, this insanely enough caused his grave to be saved. Now, saving the grave, remember the man who was machshel him, and who said that when I die, you're to bury me next to the grave of Edo. And so because of the fact that the Tzion was seen by Yoshio, that means that he, the one that had himself buried there, was also saved. The Medrash says that he had actually seen, when he said Ma'atzion Halaz, he had actually seen something that was unique, because all the entire field where he had, they were the various quorum of the Ode Avodah Zorah, so he saw that it was all covered with thistles and thorns and junk. And this particular Matseva, one side looked like it was completely wrecked with this growth, and the other side was filled with roses and beautiful, sweet-smelling things. And so, because this was the place where the Navi, who was the Navi didn't really live in Beit El, and he had insisted to be buried here together with Ida, and as if to save him. So he was very struck by the fact that it was apparently some sign, Milamala. It was then that they told him all of this story about the events that had been read here. That Navi had not been from Beit El, you will recall. This was related all the way back to this was the one who destroyed Edo by bringing him back to Eid, who was afraid, he was the one that was in charge of Pesel Micha, who was afraid that indeed this would be an uprooting of the entire endeavor of Yisrael centuries before it actually came to an end, because Hashem had told him, nobody can eat here, the place is a cherem, and thought that it would be a premature ending, the whole explanation that we give back then, and indeed that saved that man, which is crazy. It was the continuation of Pesel Micha and Moshe's commitment to Pesel Micha, that he came there and he was saved because of it. The Gamet Kol Batei Abamot, Asher Ba'arei Shamron. So here we see very clearly, Yoshiyahu is not in Yerushalayim. Yoshiyahu has expanded the country. He is now in Arei Yisrael. And he is asserting not only his authority, but his Tiur Ha'aretz over the entire country. And this, as we mentioned, was a very unique occasion, which, as we'll see, unfortunately, very soon, was about to end. Why was it a unique occasion? Because Ashur was falling apart under the pressure of Bavel on its flank. So he knew that the future was Bavel. And therefore, what he took advantage of was this interregnum of the great empire to recapture now and assert his independent authority over the entire Yehuda. And as we'll see, the wars that take place, these are the wars in Carchemish, these are the wars that are taking place between Paro Nico, on the one hand, and what Nebuchadnezzar will ultimately destroy him, on the other hand. And Yoshiyahu takes advantage of this in expanding the country. So all of the houses of the Bamot, which are in Shomron, these were the things that Malchi Yisrael had made. Just to be Malchi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's now from the time of Amon. He went not only in Beit El, but went through all of the cities of Shomron, destroying everything, burning them, and then being metame them with atzmot adam. He murdered now the Kohanim, the Komarim, who were the Kohanei Abamot. He went now with these were not real Kohanim, they were not Bnei Levi, as we saw earlier, back in Perek Yedbeit. So over there, they were the ones who were, and that's why the Targum over here is Komarim, not Kohanim. These were actually Komarim, and he brought them up as Korbanah, so to speak. So Zebach Lashem Bebotzra, that's like a Korban of murdering the people who stood up against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, destroyed them, burnt now human remains on all of those bamot, vayisrof etatzmot adam aleihem, just as he had done in Beit El itself, vayoshav Yerushalayim, and came back to Yerushalayim, now to make the grandest Korban Pesach that had ever been brought in history. Vayitzav HaMelech et kol ha'am lemor, asu pesach l'Adonai Eloheichem, kakatuv al sefer habrit hazeh. Bring now a Korban Pesach, everybody together, from all of the remnants of the Aseres HaShvatim, from all over the country. Ki lo na'asak ha'pesach hazeh, mimei ha'shoftim, asher shaftu et Yisrael. Never had there been such an incredible Korban Pesach, with so many people involved, with so much intent to utilize the Yitzias Mitzrayim's destruction of Avodah Zorah, just as it had been originally, and with those who had come back from the Aseres HaShvatim, and with an Ish Echad, Belev Echad, all of these things, Even the Pesach that Chizkiyahu had made, you'll recall, he had attempted to bring back people from Israel. And it says that he sent messengers all over the area of the Aseret HaShvatim. And unfortunately, as it says in Divrei Hayomim, they left him out of town. Nobody came from Arei Yisrael. Yoshiyahu was successful in bringing all of Yisrael together in this Korban Pesach, and this was the only time that such a thing had happened, from the time of the Shoftim all through the days of Chol Yemei, Malchei Yisrael, or Malchei Yehuda. The first time such a thing had happened was Ki'im B'Shmoneh Esrei Shana LaMelech Yoshiyahu. It was only in the 18th year of Yoshiyahu, after this entire tour of the Beis HaMikdash, the recreation of the Brit, finally, Na'asa HaPesach HaZel Adonai B'Yerushalayim, was such a Korban Pesach brought in Yerushalayim for the first time with this tremendous Madrega, which was the Chizuk of the Berek HaBayit, the destruction of Avodah Zarah, the commitment now to a new Brit, the Gamet HaOvot, Vet HaYidonim, Vet HaTrafim, Vet HaGilulim, Vet Kol HaShikutzim, Asher Nilu Veretz Yodav Yerushalayim, Be'er Yoshio, not only actual Avodah Zarah, but anything that was connected to Avodah Zarah, anything that was connected to superstition that was connected to Avodah Zarah, things that people would use for divining or for any superstitious activity, anything that was associated with Avodah Zarah, all of it was destroyed. L'man hakim et divrei HaTorah k'tuvim al ha-sefer, in order, as part of his response, Oror asher lo yokim et divrei HaTorah hazot, l'man hakim et divrei HaTorah hazot, asher matzar chilkiyahu ha-kohen beit Adonai. What he had done here was to be metayer completely in Yisrael from all of the Avodah Zarah and from all of the actual superstitions that were shayach to Avodah Zarah. But what's amazing is that he also was metayer Yisrael from its relationship to the superstition of religion itself. That's absolutely remarkable. This we see from the way in which the halachas are brought legabe the Oren Habris that he Yoshiyahu had put away. So let's take a look, first of all, at the Rambam, the Lashon of the Rambam, and we'll see how much this is nogea, the future. Now, after bringing this remarkable Korban Pesach, which Chazal tell us in the Pasuk is Merames, Mimei HaShoftim, was really only from the time of Shmuel HaNavi, because Shmuel, after all, was the first one continuing the tradition of his own father, which was the Makor, really, of the beginning of the Malchus, who used to make sure that all of Yisrael would be Eila, and gradually, this was his life's work. That it's from the time of Shmuel. In Divrei Hayomim, it mentions Beferish, that the Pesach was so unique that it had not been made this way from the time of Shmuel HaNavi. Here it just says from the time of the Shoftim. He was the only time we had that brief period of a couple of decades, which all of Yisrael were in Haruach Re'ashem, which everyone brought together the Korban Pesach. This was the first time from then that there was such a commitment to bringing the Korban Pesach. And what's remarkable is that after he did this, he brought this incredible Korban Pesach, and then it says that he gathered together the Levim, Vayomer LeLevim, and the Vinim, L'chol Yisrael. It specifies the nature of Shevet Levi as the ones who can explain things to people. L'chol Yisrael HaKadoshim L'Adonai, Tnu et Aron HaKodesh B'Bayit Asher Bana Shlomo Ben David Melech Yisrael. Put the Oren HaBrit inside of the Beit HaMikdash, which Shlomo HaMelech had built. After all, Ein Lachem Masa B'Katev. There's no longer a Mishkan, and you no longer have to carry now the Oren HaBrit. Ata Yivdu et Adonai Aleichem V'Tamo Yisrael. And now, you work for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and for Yisrael. V'achinu L'Beit Avotechem K'machlokotechem B'Chtav David Melech Yisrael B'Chtav Shlomo V'No. And go back to the Mishmarot that used to be from the time of David and from the time of Shlomo. V'imdu V'Kodesh L'Flugot Beit Avot L'Achechem B'nei Ha'am. And set up now the various Batei Avot of each Mishmar, so that each Mishmar has its week and each Beit Av has its day. And do all of this. Okay, so this was part of his achonah for the Korban Pesach. Sounds very innocent on the surface. L'maisa, the Gemara learns from here, being as the pasuk makes no sense at all, Tnu et Aron HaKadosh B'Bayit Asher Bana Shlomo, because that's where it's been the whole time. There was never any indication that the Aron was removed. So what in the world is it referring to? So Chazal understand that what it was that he did was that he hid the Aron. Why then does it say, put it in the Bayit Asher Bana Shlomo ben David Melech Yisrael? Because Shlomo HaMelech had initially prepared this in the day that he built the Beit HaMikdash. He was aware of the fact that the Beit HaMikdash would be destroyed, and therefore was making this place for it. And the Gemara learns out from many different sukkim, with Gzeres Shavos, one from the other, that this included not only the Arad, it included the Tzitzenet Amman, and it included the various other things that were together with the Arad. Each one we learn out from Gzeres Shavos. And all of these things had been brought down. Okay, now the Rambam actually brings this strangely la'alocha, even though it doesn't seem to be nogei la'alocha, it's part of history. So Rambam says like this, Evan haita b'kadosh ha'kadoshim b'ma'aravo. Here where he's talking about what to do now at times when there is no Arad. So here he's talking about Hilchot Beit HaBechira. This is not a discussion of the Avodah on Yom HaKippurim, where you'd expect to find such a thing. This is a discussion of the dinim of the Beit HaMikdash. We're telling you how the Beit HaMikdash was constructed. So he says, and there was a stone in the Kodesh HaKadosh, in the western section. She'alea haya ha'aron munach. That's where the Aron HaBrit was. Ulefanav tzitzenet haman. In front of that, the tzitzenet haman, the mate haron. At the time that Shlomo built the Beit HaMikdash, the Yadash Sofo Lecharev, he knew that it was going to be destroyed. Banabo makom legnozbo haron lemata. He built a place for hiding the Aron. Bimatmoniot amukot vakalkalot, in deep and circular and circuitous pathways. The Yoshio Hamelech tziva ugnozo bimakom shebana Shlomo. Yoshio commanded that it be put in the place that Shlomo built. Shinemar vayomer lelevim amevinim lecho Yisrael hakadoshim laHashem. He brings this entire pasuk. Tenu et Aron Hakodesh ba. And the Mate Aaron, the Tzitzenet Haman, the Shemen HaMishcha, were all hidden with them, with the Aron. These things were not restored for the Bayit Sheni, because the Bayit Sheni was still part of Galut. It was never the Shechina. Oh, yes, that's the point. All right, but what is the reason for mentioning this at all? In other words, what he's saying is that the Mokim Shabana Shlomo is the explanation of what it is that Yoshio was saying. Like this, you would learn that Yoshio would be telling you to hide it somewhere. And that the pasuk is what? Is covering for it? By saying that he told the Levim, put it in the house that Shlomo made? What was he supposed to make of that? In other words, there is, in fact, the Rambam is saying, part of the din of the Beit HaBechira, part of the tzura of the Beit HaBechira, that allows for the Arein to be there in this other place, underground. So that becomes itself part of the dinim of the Beit HaBechira, which may well be the reason that the Rambam holds that the Kiddusha of the actual Beit HaMikdash doesn't disappear. Because the truth is, that's Kiddusha Shechina, which is linked to the Arein. The Arein is still there, as far as he's concerned. So the question of the mechitzot are not important, because as long as the mokum of the Aron is included, which is why we bring on the Evan HaShetiyah, because that was the place where the Aron still remains, essentially. It's just that it's below instead of above. It's a fascinating idea. In other words, it means that Yoshio was saying it's time to go deeper. That's why he's saying, I'm mevinim, the ones who could explain. If you take a look in Yirmiyahu, you see the most astonishing thing, which is that Yirmiyahu turns the lack of an Arein into a plus instead of a minus, which is unbelievable. Because what he says there is, he starts off by talking about Vayomer Hashem Elai b'mei Yoshio HaMelech, and talking about this tshuva movement that Yoshio had made, and calling it a bunch of lies. A sheker. It's all lies. Not on his part, but on the part of the people. It was all phonies. So then, in discussing what will be in the future, after shuvu bonim shevavim ne'um Hashem, v'lakachti etchem echad me'ir v'shnayim mi'mishpacha, referring to the future, he says the most amazing thing, and at that point you will have leaders like I want. Re'u etchem de'av haskel, intelligently, insight. Vayaki tirbu, you'll see that you will multiply. Ufritem ba'aretz bayamim ha'em, in those days. Nu'um Hashem. Lo yomru od Aron Brit Hashem. Nobody will talk about the Aron. V'lo ya'ale alev, it won't be remembered. V'lo yizachru bo, v'lo yipukodu, v'lo ye'ase od. Instead, ba'et ha'yikur uli Yerushalayim kisei Hashem, v'nikvu elea kol ha'guyim l'shem Hashem li Yerushalayim. Okay, so Rashi says what this means is that there won't be any point of a focus on the Orin. Kikol k'disatchem te'kidusha v'shkon b'kivu hu Orin. There won't be any point for a particular object. So until now, you had a focus on an object. There won't be any more object. Because when we think about objects, objects are just an ongoing problem that you have with Avodah Zarah. In those days, the objects will be meaningless to you. Because the Ashras HaShechinah will be in terms of your own selves. Or the Radah, the Mitzudas. Lo yomru od zelaza nelech lifnei Aaron lihitpalel. There's no way to get in there anyway. There's 10 million people. Well, I got no time to push my way in to see the Aaron. What do I need it for? Amakom lo yechilem. Lo yalem mi bilibo lalechet shama. Af yechidi. Ki ma'od yikshe lavo shama midocha kamonaha. It won't be important to be there. So he's not saying there won't be an Aaron. He's saying there's no focus on the Aaron. The idea of, in other words, in the same way that we understood all along, and this could be the remnants of Yoshio, we understood all along, the Mishkan is a replacement for the ego. The ego was the problem. He was trying to undo what Yerovam had done. Yerovam himself had attempted to undo the worshipful relationship to the Beis HaMikdash. Again, Chazal say that that had to do with his own personal fears and the fact that he felt they would be subconsciously, that he felt he would be rejected if they would go, as the Pasuk points out, they're going to go in there, they're going to think that he's the Melech, and this is the way the Navi teaches up what was really going on inside of Yerovam. But obviously, to himself, and as the Gemara in Sanhedrin discusses, the way that Yerovam had gone to Achi HaShiloni to ask permission, to have him sign that if I tell him to be Oved Avodah Zarah, you back me. So that there must have been a desire to belittle the religious aspect of the connection to the Beis HaMikdash, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu was always worried about. And that's why the Mikdashit Tira'u is coupled in the Pasuk with Et Shabsotai Tishmoru. As Chazal say, just like Shabbos is not objectified, there isn't something you could possibly invest with the Kedusha in Shabbos. It's a concept. So just like Shabbos, why does it put together Shabbos and Mikdash? Just like Shabbos, obviously it's not anything about Shabbos that you are making holy. It's the concept of the relationship to the issue of Shabbos. So it's Mimishit Siva ala Shabbat, not ala Shabbat. So too, that's the case of the Mikdash. Lo mi Mikdash atayore. You are not supposed to be relating to the physical object. Now that is very, very difficult. And indeed, was a failure. A continuous sense of failure today. Anybody who goes to Atzer Koto is nauseated because it's exactly what you have today. A building up of an object, which now the object takes the place of anything that's real and completely destroys the reason that it was formed in the first place. The worst element of that object was obviously the Aaron. Because what was wrong with the Aaron is that it had the Kruvim. And the element of the Kruvim was so similar to the aspect of the attraction of the ego that, as we said, the Goyim paraded around, not the Kruvim, the picture of the Kruvim that had been on the walls that Shlomo had made. They paraded around as if to prove that the Jews' inner sanctum was pornographic. That's how openly sexual the relationship to the Kruvim was. So that means that when he tells the Levim, but we're not doing this anymore. We're no longer moving from place to place. We're no longer need to respond to the Bakosha of Moshe Rabbeinu, Halo Belechtecha Imanu. And that was his request. Tolerate the ego. I'm getting rid of the ego. If I'm getting rid of the ego, in a sense, my awareness of the need for this movement because of the open Sefer Torah to the Brit also sensitizes me to the need for the removal of the Aaron for exactly the same reason. Not only because the simple meaning is that the Brit threatens us with the invasion of Bavel that will take away the Aaron, but because of the fact that that allows me an excuse now in which there's a deeper level in which the Aaron remains hidden inside the Bayit instead of open in the Bayit. And that's what the level I want to achieve. Albeit that may take thousands of years to bear fruit, but nonetheless, this is what at least we can sow the seeds for a future. And that seems to be what it is that he's doing, not realizing all along that the people are not really behind him in this. You'll note that he's trying. The proof is that he relates to the Levim as the Mivinim. That comes up again at the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, during the story of the Rosh Hashanah, in which people are crying, and in which he tries to get them to understand that Rosh Hashanah is not about crying. It's not about you. It's about the Simcha Gedel of the nature of creation. So there too it says, the Levim, he begs them, go around, explain it to them, and Mivinim. And there it says that the Am, Vayavinu, they understood what was explained to them, and they went home, and they made a Simcha Gedolah on Rosh Hashanah. That's how it ends. This means that this is the first time that we see that approach. And it takes 70 years more, obviously. It's like the 70 years of Galut that we define as those 7 years, much more than 7 years, we're still in the middle of Yoshio. But it takes all of those years until there's some responsiveness to the kind of seed which he's planting now. And of course, you'll note, as Rabbi Yaakov just asked about the second Beit HaMikdash, the entire focus from the time of the restoration, the post-Purim period, was a period that was not focused on a bait as much as it was focused on concept. It was the time of learning. It was the beginning of Masechet Avot. It was conceptualizing. It was a totally, you couldn't get greater, a totally morphed vision from the time of the first Beit HaMikdash, the time of the second Beit HaMikdash, in which the magic was no longer, there's no magic. So people tell me there's no magic because there's no schus to magic. That's not the point. There's no magic because we're not interested in magic. In the same way that Purim was sof kol hanisim, as the Gemara says, and compares it to the dawn, in which people can get away without magic. They can start relating to reality, not relating to religiosity. That's part of the whole tikkun of Purim. That nes becomes nes nister. It's the way that life is embedded, that reality is embedded in life. Yoshio attempts to begin that process. Problem is that he thinks you can begin that process negatively. In a sense, remove things. It'll work out. And as the Gemara says, he actually sent around police to every single house to strip homes of Avodah Zarah. Any crucifix was torn down and burnt together with everything else. But he didn't realize, says the Gemara, this verse appears in the Targum, in the Yecha, in the Medrashecha, he didn't realize that, sure, when the door closed, the back of the door formed a crucifix. I mean, obviously not really crucifix. Saying whatever Avodah Zarah was active. So when they would open up the door, they wouldn't even realize that they had just broken apart the two parts of an Avodah Zarah. As soon as they walked out of it, it's a poetic way of describing. As soon as you walk out and close the door, everything is back to exactly the way you think. You might as well have it built into the door, and now it's just portable. The Medrash even brings out, so when the Chachomim, or the police that came in, left, the owner would say, just close the door behind you. So that it would be them who were essentially, you didn't do anything, you didn't achieve anything. You cannot strip people of beliefs by physically stripping them of beliefs. You need to address the underlying issue. He never addressed the underlying issue. As a matter of fact, if you consider the entire tkufa of Sefer Melachim, nobody addresses underlying issues. It's always assumed that all that's missing is more lev, more nefesh. And that's what they do. Now, this time, you're going to come into the brit. Now you got to give your all. People can't give their all when there's a problem with that all. This doesn't mean anything. And that is, the Navi himself says, you cannot give integrity when you don't have internal integrity. What are you going to commit to? What are you going to commit with? You're like a bunch of children that are being asked to commit. So you tell a bunch of 10-year-olds, you're committed, you're in this with all your hearts, you're true scouts. I mean, we understand what that means. There's nothing there to commit with. The child grows up, gets some personality, and doesn't even matter anymore. The whole point of Bali Emuna is that they can give their all with that whole internal integrity. That's the story of the Chud of Abor. It doesn't matter what you give your integrity to. You put your life behind it. That's what Emuna means. If you're dealing with people on this level, there's no way to pretend that they're capable of the things that they say they're capable of. So it's not that Yoshio was being fooled. It's that he was not willing to look at the issue the way it needed to be looked at. He had his dreams, and he thought that you could, because he was what he was, because he was pure, because he was able to give his entirety to this, he took for granted that that moving sense within himself would be possible to move others. The same mistake that many, many leaders have made throughout history. You can just use the power of your own vision and your own personality and your own charisma to be able to move other people. And that's not what happened. He did not move the other people. And as Yirmiyahu points out, it was all HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you see. You see what he's trying to do. And it's a lie. It's sheker. So that what it is that they're telling him does not exist. And he was never able to stare that in the face. And therefore, everything that he did unbelievable things, but he did those things, in a sense, for himself. And there were marvelous things that he had done himself. To the point where, it says over here, let's continue now in the Pasuk, V'chomohu lo ayah lefanav melech, asher shav al Adonai b'kol levavo v'kol nafsho v'kol me'odo. There was never a king who had returned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his money. K'chol Torat Moshe, v'acharav lo kam come on, there was no one subsequently who was unto him. Now, that nature of lev, nefesh, ma'od, which is, of course, the quote of Kriya Shema, ve'avtas Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol miyodecha, is the key to why it is that he thinks that everything is good. Because for him, it really was. Lev, nefesh, ma'odo. Here there's a machlokas in the Gemara. It sounds like he was somehow terrible and then needed to return to Hashem with everything. So there's a machlokas in the Gemara. One man d'Yomar says, anybody who thinks that Yoshio was a sinner and needed to do tshuva on this level is completely mistaken. What it means is that anything that was, remember, he was 8 years old. So that means, says the Gemara, anything that he had done from the time that he was 8 years old until he was fully mature, he redid in his maturity. So now let's say that people had come in for him for a judgment, and he had judged, called them back, and repaid the money to the other party out of his own pocket. Because he did not want to rely on anything that he had done before he was fully mature. That's what it means, shav. In other words, he took no chances with anything that had been left open, that might not have been burned. So that he reviewed every act of his life and attempted to be better. It doesn't mean he's this horrible sinner. It means he stopped at nothing to achieve perfection. Okay? There's another man, D'Yomar, who says that no. It says over here he did teshuva. It means literally that he did teshuva. He must have done wrong things that we don't know about. But in any event, clearly this is the man who attempted to be Machzir Yisrael b'tshuva and who believed until he found that Sefer Torah that he was successful. And then after this whole new gathering in which everybody recommitted, who hoped that there was a chance that this time that he would be successful. But it didn't work. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not change his mind from the anger. All the things that Menashe had done to get him angry. Because, after all, as Yirmiyahu said, of course, had they done teshuva, had there been day of askel, yes, then of course he was waiting. I'm waiting for you, says Hashem. I'm waiting for you, but you are not coming. What it is that you're doing is not forthcoming. That's what he says. Haraita shirasta meshuva b'Yisrael. Look, he's making this whole teshuva moment. He's going to all over to do what he can. And I've been begging them, Omar, I've been saying to them all along, after everything that they did, it called Ela, Elaita shuv, velo shava. You see? And this is even after they see what happened to Yisrael. It still hasn't changed. Despite the fact that they had the opportunity to watch what happened. There hasn't been anything real with all heart, even though they saw the Puranut, as Rashi says. Ki im b'sheker. What is im b'sheker reference to, says Rashi? Dorosha Yoshio. Marin atzmam shem tzadikim. Yes, and superficially they appeared to be tzadikim. Brings part of the Medrash. Okay, so the day will come in which we will have Day of Haskel. That's what we await. The Tikkun requires Day of Haskel. It cannot be achieved with action. The same way you can't rebuild the Beis HaMikdash by sending up bulldozers to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Say, I have rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash. It needs to be achieved. Some of you cannot achieve immortality by playing around with DNA. You achieve immortality by becoming immortal. So too, you do not achieve geula. You do not achieve teshuva by attempting to force the issue and by saying once again for the 10,000th time, we will be good with a new New Year's resolution. That is not teshuva. It doesn't work. There is no dea v'hazeh. And therefore, Vayomer Adonai Gamet Yehuda Asir Me'olanai. Kasher Asiroti at Yisrael. This we see from Yirmiyahu. That's the point. If you cannot learn from what happened to Yisrael, then Yehuda too will be destroyed in exactly the same way. Uma'asti at Ayira Zot Asher Bacharti, the very city that I chose, I will be disgusted and nauseated by. At Yerushalayim. Vet Abayit Asher Amarti Yesh Shmi Sham. We've been talking about Shmi. The entire thing now, the past few Brokim have been in terms of Leman Shmi and the entire Hatzolah, the hope was in terms of Shmi, but there isn't any interest in Shmi. And so the very house in which I said, this will be where Shmi will be Sham, I will destroy. And all of the marvelous things that Yoshio did. Haloim Ketuvim Al Sefer Divrei HaYamim LeMalchei Yehuda. And so, the next step here, we just read about the entire story in one pasuk. In Divrei HaYomim, we have a little bit of background that tells us how Yoshio came to his end. What happened is, Acharei Kol Zot, everything that pet, Asher Heichin Yoshio at Abayit, And now you think that everything is now ready. But of course, the deeper sense of ready is ready for destruction. Allah Necho Melech Mitzrayim Lilachen Bechar Kamish Alpa. What happened was is that Necho, the king of Mitzrayim, was on his way to fight in Karkamish, on the Prat, and he wanted now to achieve a defeat of Bavel by joining Ashur and becoming now the next world power to take place of Ashur, recognizing that Ashur was on its way out. This, of course, were ancient enemies. Paro of Mitzrayim has been fighting Ashur for all of these years. That was the story with Sancheirov. When Sancheirov had come back and had brought all of the riches with him that had originally been taken from Yerushalayim, recapturing them from Mitzrayim and from what it is that Ashur had taken. So they were mortal enemies. All of a sudden now, Paro Necho is on his way to aid Ashur against Bavel, because this is his big opportunity. Yoshio sees this as his big opportunity. So he knows that the next world power is Bavel, because the Melech has been told, already Benevius, this happened to Chizkio. So he knows already from the time of Chizkio that Bavel, this is 100 years later, Bavel is going to be coming. And Bavel is going to be the next world power. And Bavel is going to be the one to destroy Yerushalayim. And Bavel is going to take away all of the Kalim of the Beit Hashem. And Bavel is going to be taking the Mishpachat HaMelucha to Bavel. He had no interest in antagonizing Bavel. His interest was on being viewed as an ally of Bavel. And so he said to himself like this, although Paro Necho is not aiming at me, because after all, I mean, that's the last thing he needs, is to get involved in some skirmish now when he needs to get to Karkamish. He needs to pass through the country. Well, why should I allow him to pass through the country? So you'll say, well, it's none of your business. No, it says Beferish in the Torah. V'cherev lo ta'avor be'artzachem. They will not pass through your land. V'cherev lo ta'avor be'artzachem means that you do have to see an army passing through your territory, despite the fact that it has no quarrel with you, as dangerous, as being part of war, as being that which ultimately could come to be a threat to us, as indeed it does in the end. And Paro Necho indeed becomes more than a threat to Yehuda. Therefore, I will stop him. Stop him from coming to Eretz Yisrael. And so, he is on his way to Karkamish. And Yoshio goes forth to greet him with an army. Vayetzi lekrato Yoshio. Vayishlach ilav malachim. He sends messengers to Yoshio. Lemor. Ma livelach melach Yehuda. What is your business with me? What is my business with you? I have no interest in fighting you. Ki el beit milchamti. I'm going to where I need to go to fight. Not only that. This is from God, as well you know. Elohim amar levahaleni. Chadalecha me'elohim asherimi v'ayashchitecha. God has said, I must hurry. Don't start up. And indeed, the Navi Yirmiyahu said to him, look, Yeshayahu said, V'sichzachti Mitzrayim b'Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim has to collapse internally. Not that it should be your business. That Yirmiyahu himself did not have a direct Navias that Yoshio should not go. He told him, I'm Mekubal from Yeshayahu, that this is the situation. Yoshio, of course, believing that he has done an incredible job at changing the whole nature of Am Yisrael and reopening the gateway, perhaps, not only to the expansion of the country physically, which we saw happen, but to be zocha to all of the brachas of the Brit that he was now making. And Cherev lo ta'avor b'artzachem. And he has a right to say to Yoshio, and this is what he says according to the Gemara. You know, the Torah says, Meisha Rabcha says, Cherev lo ta'avor b'artzachem. And you say, Sichzachti Mitzrayim, Mitzrayim, nu memela. Just like we find before that Chizkio rejected the Nevi'as of Yeshayo and said to him, okay, when you finish talking, you can leave the room. I'm not responsible for your, you could say you're Nevi'as. Now what that Nevi'as means is up to me in how to define it. Because you're telling me I'm going to die, and I know that it's possible to change that gezeira. And sure enough, 2 minutes later, Yeshayo is back in the room saying, you were right, God told me to come back. Yeah, he figures the same thing. No, Yirmiyahu's etza is not to go. I believe that it says, Cherev lo ta'avor b'artzachem. Had he told me otherwise, fine, I would have. Lamaisa, the Gemara Ta'anit says, he should have been mitya'etz with Yirmiyahu. And that's the question of accepting Nevi'ut. The problem is that he lived in a world of his own making. He believed that what he was seeing, and that is this great tshuva movement, and that it was real. You know that it's real. You have a basis for saying that it's real. That people are like you, because you're like you. You see you in other people. Why not discuss it with a Navi and find out whether indeed this is the situation? And I'm warning you, said Paro Necho, there's no reason for you to be destroyed. He hears the word Elohim Asherimi. He says, aha, what God is with Paro? Obviously, in Avodah Zarah. That's a reason in of itself to refuse to allow him and not to respond to his message. And so, v'lo heisev Yoshio panav mimeno. He would not turn aside. Kilach li'ilachem bo. He was now committed to fight this man. V'lo shama al divrei necho mipi Elohim. He refused to listen to what he claimed about God. And so what he did was, very interestingly, the same thing that Achav did. Mitchapes. He dressed up as somebody else. Because Achav knew that they were going to go after him. Yoshio knew, which is fascinating, that the only thing that anybody would recognize as being a threat was him. That itself is a question. Why did he think that? See, Bishlema Achav was told by the Navi that this is going to be a disaster for you. Because he understood that it was about him. He figured that if he was Mitchapes, he'd get away with that. If Yoshio needed to be Mitchapes, so obviously he recognized that everybody saw him as a unique person. Irreplaceable. When somebody's irreplaceable, he's bad news, by definition. If you're irreplaceable, then that means this is about you. It's not about what really happened. It's not about what has taken place. What do you have to disguise yourself for? If you believe that Yisrael is Roy for this nace, you don't need to be disguised. Elamai, you believe that it really is you. And because of that, Vayor, exactly like by Achav, amazing, he's shot by arrows. Vayora Hayorim LaMelech Yoshio. Just like at the time of Achav, the archers were commanded, don't go after anybody, just go after Achav. So there they think the wrong guy is Achav, LaMaisa, Yoshafat is Achav, but then he get shot anyway, by accident. They hit him. Gemara says they hit him with 300 different shots. Hit him. Vayomer Hamelach Lavadav Aviruni, get me out of here. Exactly like Achav. I don't want anybody to know I've been hit, but get me out of here. Ki achaleti maod, I'm not going to make it. And so Vayaviru Avadav in America. Vavar Kivah Rechav Amishneh Shelo. They don't want people to know that he's been taken out of the Melchama. They secretly put him into the backup plane that he has. Vayodichlu Yerushalayim Vayomot. He dies in Yerushalayim. Vayikaver Bikivrot Avotav V'chol Yehudah Yerushalayim. The entire Yehuda and all of Yerushalayim are in Avelut over Yoshio. This becomes now the beginning of Sefer Kinot. Vayekonen Yirmiyah Yoshio. This is what we say today in our Kinot. Vayomru kol hasharim v'hasharot b'kinotehem. Anybody, whoever, and this is for all Dorot, who learns that this is an actual mitzvah, whenever there is singing of Kinot, it's anybody who sings, male and female, is al Yoshio, ad hayom. Vayitnun l'chok al Yisrael v'inam k'tuvim al hakinot. It becomes now embedded in Sefer Echa. V'yeter divrei Yoshio v'chasadav, k'katuv b'torat Adonai, u'dvorav harishonim v'acharonim. Now here it doesn't say what's the meaning of rishonim v'acharonim. But the Targum refers this to that Gemara. Rishonim v'acharonim, everything that he did right originally, he redid again out of his own pocket. That's the rishonim v'acharonim. The Targum brings that Gemara as the simple meaning of the pasuk. And this, as the Medrash says, this, when it says over here, Vayikonen Yirmiyah Yoshio, this is now embedded in Sefer Echa. So it says, Echa Yu'am Zahav, and he was similar to a container of gold. Yishuna ketem atov ayagufo dome le'evan tova u'margoliot. Tishtapachna avne kodesh, that avne kodesh should pour out. This refers to the last drops of blood, shtei revi'ot shel dam, that Yirmiyo went to be kever. That's all that he wanted to save from him. And he went, haduhu dichtiv, vayikaver b'kivrot avotav. What do we mean, kivrot avotav? How many kvorim can he be buried in? That you say kivrot avotav. There's only one place to bury him. Eleilu shtei revi'ot shel dam. This was the blood that had leaked from him, that Yirmiyo was going around like Zaka today, gathering together drops of blood where they had fallen. So this is called Bishalom, remember we said before. Bishalom al Avotav, at least he didn't see the churban of the Beis HaMikdash. And so, this is like the Medrash says, that Hakol Kasher Lakol, this is what people felt. Like Shlomo HaMelech says, it doesn't matter. Mikra Echad L'Tzadik, L'Rasha, L'Zoveach, L'Sheino Zoveach, it makes no difference what you do. The Zoveach, that's Yoshio, Shema Vayorim Yoshio, L'Zeham, Tzon, Kvasim, L'Vnei Zim, L'Asher Eino Zoveach, this is Achav, who was Mevata the Korbanos, and both of them die in the same way. Zem Eit Bichitzim, that's katov kachote. There seems to be no justice in this world. Everything is the same. But the fact is that the af, against Yisrael had been already daluk. You need to deal with the issue, not to attempt to reconfirm exactly the same things that had created the issues in the first place. This we pointed out so many times. If there's one message that you see at the end of Sefer Melachim, and that's brought out by Yirmiyahu afterwards, is that if you're talking about making a change, the change can only be made with a new paradigm. It has to be Bedeya, and it has to be Bahaska. It cannot come of attempting to utilize the same lacking integrity identities that were extant at the time and trying to infuse them with enthusiasm. Greater enthusiasm for lacking identities doesn't help. It may help for a while, may turn people on emotionally, but it doesn't change the underlying issue in the collapse of the Malchus. The fact that Yoshio attempted to use not true Malchus, but rather the power of his own personality, which is similar to the approach of Yisrael, to be mitakein, is the reason, and we saw this way before when we spoke about Achav himself. So when it came to Achav, we said, the Gemara says the very strange thing, that when Zechariah refers to the coming of Mashiach, and he talks about the death of Mashiach ben Yosef, so it says over there that V'shafachti al Beit David v'ayoshvei Yerushalayim ruachin v'tachanuni v'ibitu elai et asher dakaru. So what is that referring to? There's two shitas in the Gemara. The one who had been murdered. Who was the one that had been murdered? Either it refers to the Yetzer Hara, or it refers to Mashiach ben Yosef. V'safdu alav kemispeid al hayachid. V'amer alav kemer alav bechor. And they will say a hesped on him, the way a person is maspid, an only son who died. And be embittered the way one is embittered on their firstborn. The Gemara said this is referring to either the Yetzer Hara or to Mashiach ben Yosef. Now, the Targum of that doesn't make does it is the approach, as it says, to Misved al Hayachid. So it explains, says the Gemara, we wouldn't know what this is referring to. Which Misved al Hayachid? What is it referring to? The way that they made a Misved al Hayachid. Where was their Misved al Hayachid? Where was their Hamer Kamer al Bechor? Where was that? What is it referring to? If it wouldn't be for the Targum of this Pusik, we would have no idea, because it refers to names in the continuation, the next pasuk, that we have no idea who those names are. Hadad Rimon, and who are these people? Says the Targum, at that time, Yizkei Misvada B'Yerushalayim Ki Misvada of Achaz, who it's referring to. The Ach of Bar Omri, the Kato Yate Hadad Rimon, not the Misved on Hadad Rimon. It was Hadad who had killed Achav. And like the Misved of Megiddo, what was Megiddo? Megiddo was where Yoshio was killed, where Paro of Necho was passing through. Says the Targum, Uke Misved Yoshio Bar Amon, Tikatalya Te Paro Chagiro Bebikat Megiddo. This is absolutely amazing. What appeared to be a meaningless confluence of events, in that two kings had been mitchapes in war, two kings utterly the opposite of each other, Achav and Yoshio, two kings had been killed by arrows in war. Two kings had been specifically targeted in war. One of whom is the one who is the source of all of the problem. The other one who was attempting to be the tikkun of all of the problems end up being put together in Zechariah as being the equivalent of the Yetzer Hara itself in Mashiach ben Yosef, which is exactly the same issue. The source of all of the problems, the tikkun of all of the problems. And that hesed that people will sense on that day will combine both elements, at which it becomes clear that the only chance we ever had of doing anything was the problems that were presented to us by the very issues that Yosef HaTzadik was attempting to deal with. That's the issues of the Yetzer. So that, as the Gemara says, seeing the Yetzer Shachut is a disaster. When you think about it, it's truly a disaster. The attempt to be mitakein Avodah Zorah, we came back at the second Beis Hamikdash where the Gemara says they shechted the Avodah Zorah for Avodah Zorah, is a disaster. That's not good. That means that you'll never have those drives as a continuum to be able to utilize in Avodah Hashem. That means you're giving up. And they did give up. They said, look, forget it. We only have this in order to achieve. We're never going to achieve. Just forget about it. And a stone came down that was stamped. It's true. He wasn't ready. He simply wasn't ready to give up. Now, that took all of these years of the fruition of the seeds that he had planted, was to recognize that the distance, the time that it was going to take to be able to deal with these underlying issues while they're still burning within you is not there. We need to have an opportunity for a level of halicha in which we're left alone. And that becomes on the period of the second Beit HaMikdash. To attempt to learn about things, not to deal with things, to come to understand things, and not to have to worry about them. but the same level of intensity. And so gradually, obviously, that leads itself to a new disaster, the disaster we're living through today. But for thousands of years, nearly, it worked. It was possible with each new challenge to have to rebuild, as the Meshech Chochma points out, to have to rebuild, to have to make it possible to learn to live in yet a new location, with new culture, with new ways of looking at things. That gradually deteriorated to the point where Klal Yisrael was brought together into Eretz Yisrael and no longer provides anything real. Because now becomes the time in which, indeed, it's necessary to deal with Malchut, necessary to deal with Yetzer, necessary to deal with exactly the issues that Yisrael had attempted to deal with as Achav had attempted to deal with them. And we pointed out then, back in the story of Achav, that he knew exactly what he was doing. That this was the ultimate expression of what Moshe Rabbeinu himself had seen as necessary. The Halicha, the Pesel Micha. It's not a coincidence now that Yoshio spares Pesel Micha, so to speak, at the last moment. And that Navi was saved together with Ido. That's the reason that he was saved. The same reason that we find Achav and Yoshio strangely stuck together is exactly the reason that we find Ido and Moshe's own loss in Menashe through his son. And it's a reference to Menashe, remember, it's a little nun, because it was Eisa Meisa Menashe, we changed Moshe's name to Menashe. It's astonishing. The nun hangs to tell us this is really Moshe. We call him Menashe because his grandson acted like Menashe. Those two things needed to be incorporated as one in order for there to be ultimately this nevuah of Zechariah, that the time will come in which will be a ruachin v'tachanunim on Yoshvei Yerushalayim. This was not the time. And so continues the Navi. Vayomer v'yamav ala faro necho melech Mitzrayim ha-melech Ashur ha-naharat. And so it was in his day that Paro necho was coming to help melech Ashur ha-naharat. Vayelech ha-melech Yoshio likrato, and yet Yoshio, the king, attempted to stop him. Vayimiteu b'migido kir ototo. And the king of Mitzrayim, when he identified him, killed him. That's all. One verse. Vayakivuhu avadav meit mimigido, vayivu Yerushalayim vayikruhu bikfurato. And so they took him dead. We understand he wasn't completely dead. He was dying. They brought him to Yerushalayim, buried him in the Fura. Vayikach amaretz et yoachaz ben Yoshio. The people, the leaders, we said amaretz in this context means the people that are the leaders of the folk, took Yehoachaz, the son of Yoshio, and they used the shemen. This, of course, is not shemen amishka, which had been hidden. So this was shemen afar simon, says the Gemara. They were mosheachim. Why did they need to be mosheachim? They needed it because the din is that Melech ben Melech does not require mosheach. And yet they were mosheachim. Why? Because they had insisted on taking the younger brother, Yehoachaz, and making him king. And we're going to soon find out why they did not want the older brother to be Yehoiakim, to be king. Because the older brother indeed was a participant behind the scenes with Bovel, and he was trying to secure the way for Bovel's ascendancy. And so they, being loyal to Yoshio, appointed Yoachaz, but wherever there's a problem in the Seder of the Malchus, you always need to use Shemen. So they used the Shemen. Ben Esrim v'shalosh shana Yoachaz b'malcho. He was 23 years old, and he was king for all of 3 months. U'shloshe chodashim alak b'Yerushalayim. V'shem imo chamutal. But Yirmiyah milivna, vayas harabe ine Adonai, kechol asher asu avotav. But he did what was evil, and because of that, vayasreu paro necho berivla beeretz chamat mimloch b'Yerushalayim. Paro necho, at this time, everything that Yoshio thought would happen, happened. And paro necho spread across the land and removed him from the king. Vayitein onesh ala aretz. And he put a fine against the land. Mea kikar kesev, v'kikar zahav, who became now tributes to Paro Necho. Vayamlech Paro Necho et Eliakim ben Yoshio, tachat Yoshio aviv, vayase et shmo Yehoiakim, vet Yoachaz lakach, vayavo Mitzrayim, vayomacham. He took a man after his own heart and appointed him king. Took Yehoachaz with him to Mitzrayim, and he died there. V'akesev ha'azahav natan Yehoiakim lefaro, acheirich et ha'aretz latet et ha'kesev al pi paro, ish ke'erko nagas et ha'kesev et ha'azahav et ha'aretz latet lefaro necho. And so he pressured the land. Instead of taking from the royal treasury, he didn't take the money, he took it from each person, according to the value that he evaluated him, in order to pay Paro. And he did this b'kviya, b'chozek, k'erko. Ben 25 shana Yehoyakim b'molcho. You see here that he was older indeed. He was 25 years old, whereas Yehoahaz was 23 years old, and obviously had been in cahoots, because why else would Paro Necho have chosen him? And there must have been a reason that the people had rejected him if he was the older brother and needed to use. Now it becomes clear 3 months later that they felt that they were backing Yoshio, who didn't want to deal with Paro. He wanted to fight Paro. And actually, Yoyakim, he wanted all along to be with Eliakim. We changed that Yoyakim. He wanted him to, Paro had wanted Yoyakim to be now his figurehead. As if to say, this is God, God's presence, Yudke Vavke. And he was 25 years old, and Malcho was able to rule for 11 shana until he was destroyed by Bavel. And he was Malach B'Yerushalayim for those 11 years, the 11 years from the time of Nebuchadnezzar's coming into power until the Churban, as we'll see. V'shem Mimo Zivuda Bat Pidaya Min Ruma V'yaz Hara B'Enei Adonai. Now, there were many stages in the life of Yoshio. We've sort of compressed everything. But if we take a look between our perek here and the perek that is parallel in Devar Hayomim Beit, which is Lamed Daled, Lamed Gimel. So in the eighth year, he was 16 years old. That's when he began to be Dairesh Elokei David Aviv. So he went now to begin rebuilding the vision of what it was that David was, and what it was that his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be defined as. 4 years later, this is now in the 12th year of his reign, he's now 20 years old, we find also in Divrei HaYamim that he saw himself powerful enough to get rid of the people that were working together with his father Amon and his grandfather Menashe, and he began now his battle against Avodah Zarah and started to send around secret police to destroy Avodah Zarah. In the 18th year of his Malchut, he began now the Berek HaBayit, which also is mentioned there in Divrei HaYomim as an act to be metaken his father and grandfather. He uses a lashon over there, Asher Hishchitu Malchei Yehuda. And so, those entire years in that period, there was also a rebuilding of Levium, a bringing together money for the Berek HaBayit that we find all over there in details. And while that was going on, that's where we find that the story of the Sefer is found. And that is the Sefer where in Divrei HaYomim it says Beferush was the Sefer Biyad Moshe that had been written in Moshe Rabbeinu's own hand, that had been hidden away from Achaz. And at that point, they discover the Klolos that the Sefer was open to, and he gathers everybody together, sends now to Chulda HaNeviyah, and goes now in two directions. One is bringing everybody together in Yerushalayim with everything that was involved in the new Brit that was the commitment. And at the same time, he went after bringing his Korban Pesach, the greatest Korban Pesach from the time of Shmuel, he went to hide the Aron HaBrit together with all of the things that the Pasuk connects with the Aron in order to provide a deeper basis for the Beit HaMikdash, for the future, for the rebuilding, and for the entire idea of the building of a Galut, instead of its being destructive the way it was the Aseret HaShvatim. The Galut for Yehuda accomplished the exact opposite and rebuilt Yehuda and built Klal Yisrael to be able to survive the thousands of years that were to come. And this we will see, although it would appear on the surface that his children did not follow his path. In the end, all of this input that Yoshio had given became the definition of the Galut after his son Yehoyachin ended up doing Teshuvah, his grandson ended up doing Teshuvah, and rebuilding Malchus Yehuda together with Sanhedrin, the Charash, and the Mazger, and making now a completely new vision of Yisrael, and provided the basis of the return and the birth of Sha'altiel, and Nehemiah, and the rebuilding from Zerubbabel through the Zechut of Yoshio himself.